This is Pastor John. Welcome to the Lucy Coleman Studio for Ram Radio, which is the biblical alternative. What we're going to do today is we're going to look again. You know, I cannot get enough of looking at Cornelius, that Gentile guy that came to the knowledge of God. And then when you see the Jewish Christian walking into his pad, giving him the blessed word of God, and you know what Cornelius had and his whole household had? He had something that we American Christians don't have too much, and it's called godly respect. Absolutely, godly respect. Do we really fear God? Are we concerned as Cornelius was with our disposition towards God, our Creator? Are we trying to hide out in the rafters? Hey, you know what? I got to think about myself as I look in the mirror of God's Word and see me. Yeah. Do we view God in the same way as this first century believer did? Do we in this modern era, 2010, that we live in, do we have the same balanced concept of God, or do we have a twisted kind of a thing? Do we in our ways and means give human adoration through godly respect? Thank you for taking our time coming to the Lucy Coleman Studio today. To welcome you is a great privilege of mine on this September the 7th, 2010. On the planet Earth, from Los Angeles, California, from the United States of America, and I'm only talking to Christians that are truly sold out for Christ. Now, if you've sinned like I've sinned in your life, done and said and even thought things that were evil continuously against God, that is not showing godly respect. What this webcast would do is to bring it right home, and so that we can think about it in a very realistic way, godly respect. Now, the text informs us, and let me read the text. There was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, and he gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continuously. This is a series that I did so many years ago, and I'd like to share it with you. It's from a series called Issues and Family Life. Those same issues confront us today here in this nation as we look at this webcast and try to get a grasp upon exactly what is going on. Thank you for joining me. In case some of you might ask, because you may, you say, was that your godson doing the music? No. Some good folks send me a promo album, and it was from Flavor Alliance Media Group. Send it to me, told me that I can use the background music, and that was from a group called Beyond Skills, and that's the instrumental to Say Goodbye. Very nice instrumental, and kind of a hip-hop Christian group. And I use their music from time to time. And I really want to thank them for that CD, because it really comes in handy. You know, the importance of this particular verse of scripture in Acts chapter 10 is seen in the fact that Luke, the writer, recounts this three times here in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11, and finally in Acts chapter 15, verses 6 through 9. The geographic extension of the gospel in Acts as an initial fulfillment of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, which says, I say unto you that many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was saying there will be people that will come and want to hear of the word of God. And the vision of Cornelius is one of those wonderful times when a foreigner, a Gentile, really came to have this godly respect. Well, the text informs us that Cornelius was a God-fearing man. Comes from a Greek term, phobio, where we get our English term phobia. He feared God so much that he was stricken with reverential admiration for the master, that the intent of his life was to live in constant awe and respect. There's where we've dropped the ball, because we ain't living in this constant awe and respect. As I've been saying on the recent webcast, we let the world come in and influence us. But do we have a biblical base from which we might consider fearing God? There's another question that I like to ask. And before we attempt to answer that question, I believe that we first have to gather a worldview from the 2010s where we are in respect to godly reverential fear. Because the worldview that we have of God is quite a different worldview than God had intended. I have said it before and I will say it again. So-called biblical Christianity that reigns supreme in America is not that at all. And until we come to realize that it is not that, we will find ourselves in great disillusionment. Now, who is he anyway? Pastor John, you mean to tell me you still believe in God? I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I don't believe that kind of stuff. I'm God. All right. When we speak of our Lord, we must be ready to receive these kinds of reactions from the world that has no rational reason to accept his reliability at all. They have no cognizant ability to see what I'm saying as making any relevance at all. Because if God has not spoken to them, if they are not acquiescing to the Spirit of God, they have no idea what I'm talking about when I talk about reverential godly fear. The God that they're thinking about may be some white dude in heaven with a beard. If they're black, they ain't going to look to that. If they're white, they're saying, get back. Barack is our new Messiah. Completely out of your mind. Do we have a solid, authentic, authoritative right to fear God? And that's why we have to open up our Bibles and we have to see what the Scripture says about this. I believe that the number one thing is that God himself desires that his creation, that is man, fears him. All other creatures fear God. Man is the only stubborn idiot that will not fear God. And the Lord states that one of the reasons that men will not respect him is because there's a problem in the heart. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, it says, "The Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which has spoken to you. They have done well in that what they have spoken." Oh, and look what he says in verse 29. "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever." What do we see in this verse right here? Though the Lord approved of the people's response to him back in that day, he hinted that they would not carry through with their good intentions because on fearing God. You see, fearing God is something that most people do not do, especially in this environment or in this day and age today. For this reason, man cannot and will not keep his commandments. Look at verse 29a. It says, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they might fear me and keep all of my commandments." Now, that's a part of my problem. I want to keep some of them. And then sometimes when I get into, when my sinful nature jumps on me, I don't want to keep none of them. I want to be freed from that. See, for this reason, it is not well with men in their lives. Look at verse 29b. It says, "Keeping all of my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever." Their children will be visited with harm because of the parents' heart. We see that in verse 29c. I see it already in my offspring's children. Some vile, corrupt depravity coming forth from the rudiments of the world. And I remember when I taught my children, lest you keep this, you will even lose your own children. You see, the difficulty is that when your children grow up and they become educated, they get their degrees, they go to college, they get smart. And I'm not just talking about mine, I'm talking about yours too. That's why your children have rejected your word, rejected your authority. I mean, they've rejected everything that is out there of God, and that is why our nation is in the trouble it is in today. I don't think it's strange that these things have come upon us here in America. Everybody's talking about the oil spill and people dying and coal mines blowing up, the economy shot, no jobs everywhere, black men going to jail, hiring more. You know what? I'm in the midst of filling out some applications to get a job as a prison chaplain here in the Southern California area. They're hiring. They need prison chaplains all over this country. Why do you think they need chaplains all over this country? Because the prisons are filling up. I want to go there and try to give a different kind of help, because this other help, they have to have a heart towards God. They need a chaplain that's going to tell them the truth. And hey, listen, I need the money. They need some chaplains because they're losing control. I know what's going to happen. They're going to start killing folk en masse, trying to do what I can before the end comes. Men, by virtue of their depraved condition, have rejected the fear of God, fear that God requires of them. And since they have rejected this, there will be tremendous danger coming upon them. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? Look at this. But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul." Now let's check out this verse and break it down. The requirement begins with fearing him in verse 12a. Now the Lord, and look. Now, man, this is beautiful. What does the Lord God require of you? There's a requirement. Human beings have to fulfill that requirement, because if they do not fulfill that requirement, they are adamantly opposing that requirement. Secondly, we see in verse 12 that we show our fear by what? Walking in his ways. You Bible teachers, you Bible instructors, learn how to break that verse down. Don't be trying to talk about nobody's own personal sin. See, brother, you're not walking in his way because you're not. No, shut up. Leave him alone. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror of God's word and address your own sin. Address your own foolishness. I was talking to God in prayer this morning, praying for the young brothers in my home. And one of the first things that I said to God, "Oh God, forgive me of my sins, which are numerous." See, I'm not looking at nobody else. There's a song that we used to learn in church, in the Baptist church years ago. And the words went like this: "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, not the pastor, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." What do we see also in verse 12? We see in verse 12, see, also by our loving him as God and to serve him as our God with our whole heart. Man, this is beautiful, beautiful. Are you serving God in that way, or are you serving your flesh? Because that's what it's all about here. Either you serving God or you totally serving your flesh. And it's all right for you to go to Disneyland or to eat a nice meal and to enjoy a nice, decent movie. But watch it when you serve in your flesh. And finally, by serving him all of your days in verse 12d. Not just some days, not just Sunday, but every day. Men need to undertake an active fear of the Creator. Stay with me. As I go back to Deuteronomy, I love this particular book in the Old Testament. Go to chapter 13, and I would like you to look at verse 4 with me. Deuteronomy 13 and 4. Men need to undertake an active fear of their Creator. "You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him." People, don't you see that God is serious here? Walking after him is keeping, obeying, and serving, and cleaving. Now, with those 4 points, Bible teacher, you can teach an hour Bible study. What does it mean to keep his commandments? What does it mean to obey him? What does it mean to serve him? That's why most atheists and agnostics don't want to serve anybody but themselves. And Satan has so blinded them. I'm not going to promise you a burning hell if you reject this. Because, see, you think that after you live a nice, long, prosperous life, that you're just going to close your eyes and die, right? And it's all going to be over. And you may think that you're smart because you're very educated and say that, well, nobody's ever come back and told me that there's anything there. Yes, they have. You've just been rejecting it. This verse specifically points out a particular kind of obligation to consider him as worthy. Now, once you consider him, you're not considering you. But in this new age, cultural relativistic type of society that we live in this world where, hey, I'm going to make, it's my party and I cry if I wanna, cry if I wanna, cry if I wanna. No, it's not your party. This is God's plan, and you are part of that plan. And until you recognize that you are a part of that plan, you're going to find yourself kicking against the pricks. Let's move on down. God himself always provides a man with the choice to do. God always himself provides man with the choice to do. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14. Go there with me. Look at this. Now, this verse begins with the preposition if. Look at that. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and listen to his voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then you shall do, you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. This if and then preposition, if I don't choose to fear him, I shall suffer the total consequence. Oh, trust me. I know that a lot of people listen to my webcast and they kind of laugh. Oh man, this old black dude believes that? He still believes that? Why is it when you go to sleep at night, your conscience is bothering you? Why is it that you can't listen to, some of you cannot listen to an entire webcast? You can't listen to it because your conscience is seared as a hot iron. You know I'm right about it. You hoping that when people like me die and I shut up, that it'll all disappear and go away. It ain't gonna never go away. Because as long as God gives me power to preach and to teach his word, I'm gonna do a webcast every time I think about doing it, and God gives me a free moment to do it. But it's the fear of the Lord that you need to get into. What verse is that? That was 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. If you will fear the Lord. See, this preposition. Because if you won't fear him, go ahead on with your bad self. It is all right. Go to Psalms chapter 2, verse 11. You got your Bible, Psalms chapter 2, and I want you to read verse 11 with me. Verse 11 says, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Now, this verse appears to be a contradiction. Here we see that the King James fear is better rendered reverence. In other words, if I fear him, I reverence everything about him with a life of obedience. That's active. Okay, that's in the active sense. And so I'm not saying, oh, well, I got six more days and then I got to go to church. No, it's not about that, because you can go to church and this dude's not going to preach to you. He's not going to tell you the truth. My day begins with a choice as I reflect upon God. And ain't nobody got no day beginning with no choice reflecting. Most people's days begin with, oh, well, going to the toilet. But wait a minute. Let's go to Psalms chapter 4, verse 4. And I want to elaborate on how your day should begin. Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. Now, before I read the verse, the only recourse then for the wicked was to abandon their sinful plans and become worshipers of the Lord. Diligent souls searching for the Lord would be led to act properly towards David and anyone else. Look what it says. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. That's how we should begin our day. Trembling on the bed, meditating before you get up off the bed. How are you going to be living? What is your life going to be all about? That's what that's all about. When man reverences God in his rightful place, that means give majesty to him, to give honor to him, then God protects that man. That's how it works in the Christian life. You know, sometimes I have to pray for my children. And I have to say, Lord, help my children. They have walked away from you. They have turned their backs to you. They have gone after the way of Balaam. They are following after this world. Please, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on their father. I pray for my friends. I pray for them all the time. I try to tell them how much I love them. Sometimes I show them too graphically how much I love them, and I ought not. I ought to let God love them. You see what I'm talking about? Because he is the majestic savior of the world. Oh, my friends, this is a wonderful study. You still got that Bible open? Go to Psalms, and I want you to go to chapter 34, and the verse that I want you to look at is verse 7. Psalm chapter 34, verse 7. Here again, we see David declared that the angel of the Lord himself comments on this issue. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Do you see what happens here? When you fear God, he sends his angel to protect you. So what does this verse literally speak about? There is a sense of divine guardianship offered to the godly. It is not offered to the ungodly. If you're not ungodly, if you're not godly, and if you will not reverence him, you do not, nor can you have this promise. And you parents need to share this verse, Psalm 34, 7, with your children, because they have no idea that this verse exists. God manifests himself in this manner to those that fear him alone. Alone. Also, it means that God is mediating for man. He's mediating. He is standing there as the one lone mediator between himself. Listen, Jesus is that one lone mediator between man and God. Look at Genesis chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now as Jacob went on his way, the angel of God met him. Jacob said when he saw them, 'This is God's camp,'" or God's house. "So he named that place Mahanaim." See, this is the place where God met me. Do you remember? I'm going to take you guys back for years. I remember the place that God met me and spoke to me for the first time, like man to man. I was in the back of Arnold Luber's car. It was a Chevrolet. And that is when God appeared to me and spoke to my heart and changed my life that day in August of 1967. That's his grace, his divine guardianship, when he reveals himself to you. Can you remember that? Jacob remembers it. He was on his way, and the angels of God met him. God will mediate for you, that God charges angels to care for his people. Now, you may laugh and say, "Fool, you believe that foolishness." Let me tell you something. If God didn't care for me, I would have been toe up, messed up many years ago. These angels minister only to those that are heir of salvation. He is not ministering to people that will not give godly awe and respect unto the Father in heaven. Some of you may call him Jehovah. Some of you may call him Elohim. Some of you may call him Yahweh. Some of you may call him Jah. You better call him your heavenly Father who watches over you. That's what you need to do. And listen, in this smart and, you know, this age that we live in, it's smart to blaspheme God. "Oh, it ain't no God. God don't mean nothing. I can do anything I want to do." You know, he going to let you do it, because if he came down and slap your, see, you almost got me cussing. If he came down and slap your behind when you was talking your trash, you couldn't even get your lips straight. But that's all right, because there's coming a day when he's going to do it. God will not, and I'm going to put emphasis upon this for the church, he will not stand idle and let those that receive his blessings continuously kick their heels up in his face and bring shame to his name. No, he will not do that. No. Oh, how he loves you and me. Now, let me give you some important facts here as we continue to search our Bibles as we look at this reverential fear. We're going to stay in the book of Psalms, and as you turn to Psalms chapter 46, and we're going to glance at verse 10. Let me share this with you, some important facts to consider about fearing God, that our activity does not draw God's attention to us. It doesn't. Look what it says. It says, be still or cease striving and know that I'm God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Do you see what the Lord is saying right here? Man, the psalmist exhorted the saints to observe the saving mighty deeds of God. These deeds portray how God brings peace to his people, destroying weapons throughout the earth. God himself calls for the people to trust in him and to know that he is God and that he will be exalted throughout the earth. Look at verses 8 and 10. It says, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease and to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Friends, let me tell you something. Don't let these New Age idiots try to convince you in any way that there is no God and that you do not owe homage to him. Don't let these postmodernists, these lunatics who think that because they have a lot of money in the bank and their lives seem to be going smooth, that you can forbade God and not give him awe and due respect. My friend, you're going to give him due respect when he gets through bending your back to bow your knee, you will know that he is God. Stay in the book of Psalms. I'm not finished yet. Oh, I'm excited about this. And for you Bible teachers out there, you need to get excited because you know what your problem is? I'm going to tell you what your problem is. You do not believe enough in God to put forth what he is telling you to do. And this is what you have to do. You have to keep going ahead. Our fearing God begins with our teaching concerning his way. Our fearing God begins with our teaching about following his way. Now, I want you to go to Psalms, and that'll be Psalms chapter 86 and verse 11. I believe, let me go back to this. Make sure that I have the right chapter here. Yeah, 86:11. Look what it says. It says, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. See, first he tells you in Psalms 46:10 to be still and shut up. And then in Psalms 86:11, he says, shut up so I can teach you something. See, everybody trying to talk back to God, tell God what they think they know about him and all that. And God don't want to hear you. He don't want to hear your foolishness. And that's what's the matter with the church. We go to church and we test the lying. You ain't testifying. You test the lying. All of it is a bunch of lies. Tell me, oh, look what the Lord has done for me. He gave me $500,000. Man, that was Satan. Because all you got to do is pull your bra off and shake your behind. And Satan to give it, hey, you can pay it to the piper. You know how you're going to get some money? Get your behind up and go to work every day and hope you can make a decent dollar. Oh, I know you don't want to hear nothing like that. You want to go to the ministry where the preacher tell you that everything's going to be all right for you. Go to Psalms, and we're going to go to the 99th Psalm, and we want to go to verse 1 of Psalm 99. Look what it says, and it makes it perfectly clear. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He's enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. See what I'm talking about? The result of God-fearing attitude, look what God causes. It causes me to tremble. We're not trembling before God. The church isn't trembling. The only time the church starts trembling is when their money runs out. Man, you better see those two little clips I got up on my website when your money runs out. Because I know what the problem is. You living for the dollar. You living for the luxury of the world. You're not thinking about God. You need to stand before God Almighty and tremble. That's how you can really find out who's saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Go to Psalm, and let's go to the 112th chapter, and let's look at verse 1, if you will. It says, "Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." You see that? There's nothing less than blessings for the man that will give praise to the Lord God Almighty. Don't let these secular humanists fool you. Don't let these secular humanists trick you and end up your soul in a place so far separated from God. Because when it happens, you will have conscious moments thinking of why you rejected what this preacher said to you today. Some of you need to listen to me right now because you're lying. You're lying. And I'm not trying to do like those preachers, trying to make you afraid of hell. I'm not trying to scare you that way. I am telling you, you do not want to stand before a God of judgment to give an account for rejecting him and not giving him awe and due respect. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that because when that happens, your cry will not be heard anywhere. All right. Thirdly, I would say we must develop a healthy view of what to fear. Because we don't know what to fear. We have to develop a healthy view of what to fear. Now, I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 12, and I want you to go to verse 5. Luke chapter 12, verse 5. Jesus is talking. Jesus says, "But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he is killed, has authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Now, those are the words of Jesus. Now, which one brings fear to you? You don't believe me? You don't believe that, huh? All right, go to Matthew 10 and 28. Go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. You not fearing yet? Here's Jesus says, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." Now, you don't believe in hell? I believe in hell. I believe that God will destroy my body and send it to hell if I do not obey him. I know that. Now, you agnostic, you atheist, you're a humanist, you God, go ahead on with your bad self. You are too tough for me. As a matter of fact, I want to go back to the Luke. Let me give you an example of a man that did not take a better look at his situation. Look at Luke, and I want to go to Luke chapter 23. For those of you that don't know what I'm doing, I am trying to use a biblical argument to prove my point. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 and 40. Now, look what it says. One of the two criminals that were hanged there was hurling abuse at Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered, and rebuking the other thief, said, "Do you not even fear God?" You see, one of the thieves on the cross feared God. And he said, "Do you not even fear God? God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation." Do you know what that thief was saying? He was saying, "You're going to be dead in a few minutes. Don't you know that after you die, everything that you did in this life, you will have to give an account of?" Now, let me share this with you. Let me share this with you people. If you don't believe in the Bible, if you don't believe in the Word of God, and this text is over 2,000 years old, and people believed that 2,000 years ago, and they're still believing it today. And if you're not even 33 years old and you talking about walking around talking about you don't believe it, you know, you got to be the biggest fool in town, because this book wasn't written in accordance to your stupid, non-affirming life. Your life means absolutely nothing. we got 2,000 years plus another 2,000 years before that of Old Testament testimony, well, maybe about 1,700 years of Old Testament testimony that backs up the fact ain't nobody listening to you in the year 2010 who denies God. You do not respect him with godly fear. You will end up in a place of all unbelievers. It is simple as that. This preacher will never stop preaching that because the Bible teaches that. I know you don't like it because you is a heathen. All right? And so since you're a heathen, you need to hear me. Go to Acts chapter 10 and go with me to verse 35 as we continue. All peoples are called to develop this particular fear. Every person in every nation is called to develop this kind of reverential fear. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 35. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome by him. See, this isn't just to black people, to white people, to Asian people, to Mexican people, to poor people, to rich people, to people in third world countries, or to people in Europe, or to people that live in Watts, people that live in Beverly Hills, people that live in New York City, living on the Gold Coast, people that live in Malibu out here in Southern California. This is to everybody that believes in him. So these words of Peter were revolutionary. They swept away the prejudice and indoctrination of generations of Judaism. However, Gentile salvation certainly was a doctrine known in the Old Testament, but everyone is included into God's program, but you've got to reverentially, godly fear the Lord. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. You're not convinced yet, are you? I know you're not. Why don't you go with me to the book of James, chapter 2, and then look quickly at verse 19. The Bible is replete with it. Reverential godly fear. We got to come back to that. Now, this will be the last scripture in this outline that I'm going to give you. James 2:9 says, you believe that God is one? Look what he says. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Here's the problem. You believe that God is one, but you're not shuddering. Now, what the writer James is saying is that devils themselves tremble over this idea of reverential fear. See, so if so, it may be, you may be a typical Gentile believer who attacked the creedal belief of monotheism accepted by all the Jews, but he was saying, if you believe that God is one, that may be a good thing for you to do, but it does not go far enough. That is what James is saying. It doesn't just go far enough to say, yeah, I believe, so I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven and all is going to be. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that you got to put forth the premise here, brother, sister, you've got to do something. Now, let me bring this study to an end as I hear the music in the background. Cornelius, our example of a man who was not ashamed to demonstrate godly, reverential fear. Now, today, we are all challenged to come back to the biblical idea. That's what's the matter with America. We've gotten so stuck on ourselves, we're looking at Lady Gaga, whatever she call herself, and all of our children are gone, twerped out, crazy, freaked out, and we laughing at it, smiling at it. We can't even take our eyes off of the videos, can we? But godly reverential fear today challenges us. We show our admiration towards the truth of the text by development. In other words, we ought to take these scriptures that I've given you and apply them into our lives as we seek to develop a conscious recognition of personal godly fear. Secondly, we also need to show our admiration by participation. We're talking about development and participation. Therefore, all of us should participate in a regulatory lifestyle that demands a daily application of godly fear, including me. And lastly, we are to live a life of example. In other words, I must exemplify what godly fear is for those who may not know how it really looks. With that, my friend, 39 minutes and 18 seconds. I'm going to end up this webcast, and I want to thank you for coming by the site today. And I guess I'll just call this godly respect. This is what God demands out of his children. If there's any of you sitting out there that needs to repent, like me, because I haven't been showing this, well, all you have to do is say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry, I got carried away with this world. Devil put a number on me, man, and I'm out there enjoying everything and doing what I want to do and thinking I'm on my way to heaven anyhow. Yeah, I understand. I understand, because living in these here United States would kind of do that to you. Because, you know, we got all this stuff around us. We got so much stuff, we have forgotten him altogether. Thank you so much for coming to my website. Oh, I keep my two young men in prayer here. We're still, I want to thank a couple of people. I want to thank my friends that live in Vacaville, California, David and Joanna. Thank you so much. Right on time, my friends, because things are rough here in South Central Los Angeles. I appreciate you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial gifts to this very unique ministry. Because you know me, I'm not going to cut no slack and try to make you feel good. I'm going to try to make you feel how the Holy Spirit makes me feel. Like I need to get my act together, right? If you live in the Los Angeles, Southern California area, Basics of the Faith starts on the 13th of this month of September 2010. Looking forward to hearing from you. Till that time, you know the drill. Stay into the Word, my friend.